So, you know, oh, so $35 for flying fish, eight flying fish, total of seven, and they have a bristol bay, from here.
Getting around the United States in these
steps. That's right.
Okay,
As a result, you know, there's a lot of fire.
Another thing we were thinking of, we're always trying to think of the way.
Do you pick up the airport? Do you pick up the airport plane down there?
West owners, they went down there, some of the association.
Oh, you're an airport?
And it's really bad. Someone who is done it, she should tour.
How do you work it out then? Three, five, you fly in, somebody else.
I have movies.
Do you like to be an agent?
Does Don have movies?
He has got, one Japanese crew,
Now, I want to talk to you, they could live in.
Yeah, that was something.
Drop off again. Hey, drop them off. Or pick them up.
Then you've got another one.
In other words, they don't have to walk the 4 miles. Drop off, fish down the outlet of the way, and fish right in the lake. And jump back in the plane and all. In a matter of hours.
Or you can drop off, pick them up tomorrow.
If there's a revenue there.
Oh, sure, I tell you.
Right, and have the old places to stay there?
One of the best. You have to have somebody who can take the group.
So what you really want to do is drop off, say, if you picked up a day's
lecture tour.
And you can pick them up either on top there or down.
You should almost, you probably have to contract to have it done, but have someone take them.
Reservation, you should do that.
Right, but it should be an up-to-date type thing that takes in all of Don's activities. In other words, follows him, like, say, through a year of flying. See, then you've got it all in one day. And then you're going through it, that flying north of Denver. Let me tell you, man, that's a hard
race.
That's a hard race. One night you're here for 3 nights, and then you're 500 miles away, and another 3 nights.
Also, I don't want to get the wrong impression. We're not
Rainbow. He takes his own movies. We've seen him before we came here.
There's really literally 100 places.
But since you do it like, say you correspond a couple months ahead and line up to where you could have a record in
between?
Yeah, you can. There again, you have to get on board. Man, while you're down there, you don't want to be chasing from what these guys usually do, they'll line up a truant agent or somebody down there. And then they go along and they book it. And you set up an itinerary and you make it. Philadelphia for the next port and back to Omaha the next city. And it's a real hassle. Now you might be surprised it comes from a
I'll put a couple up here, about 35.
Yeah, you never know. You don't want the mood of the public to be the mood of the so-called market.
Also, there's green.
Well, I'll tell you, the market is about 40 months.
Right. It's in his favor, that's for sure.
Lakes, for large lakes, are having good. People are much more aware of the what's going on in Alaska. We're all more than in Ohio. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, Alaska was showing place where it was snowing out there.
Right, well, just as recently, they did a lot of seasick. The best day, it looks like she kind of came up here and she went through, went back and reported to her again.
Well, would that be a good place to put on one of these trips?
Seven cars. And they're really well respected. And they're also right now in the contest.
Powder snow 40 feet in air, and the sun is right back. I haven't seen the water. Got shot out of that. All it says is.
Did you take that one?
Well, no, they took it, and it says, you thought all we come to home, not really kind of smashed.
Oh, right there.
Right there, right now.
When did you get in town?
3 weeks. About 2 weeks. Okay, Doc. Hey, Montague.
I was really curious.
Yeah, Richard Montague.
We're steps to that.
Just checking the phone book. He's operating now. He's home.
That means a lot too, like the way our time.
Right.
We'd like to do this.
They don't know now. There's something of value.
Right. If I, for instance, just took an ocean, like, oh, I'm here. You read the book.
Yeah, but baby, and poor blanket.
Okay, summer skiing. Minimum 6, 85 each.
Yeah.
Stay at the mountain house included. So right now it's open about ski down and hike up. Flights available to Expedition Camp.
Oh, yeah. Flights
at the Expedition Camp. Also, the monetary aspects of that. You've got to follow up.
Flights to Expedition Camp. What's that for? When you fly into the lodges, that's everything's taken care of when they get to the lodge.
They want to get plastered, they've got a bar, they've got a prohibition, they've got a boat, they want to be a nice tackle, they've got with the regular, they start off with sit down at the table, and then
I want to go ahead. Yeah, I think I'm taking care of that.
Yeah,
anybody need assistant guidance, Paul? Larry Rivers. Larry.
This means that nothing more.
Rivers, R-I-V-E-R. Bring down CB radio if anybody needs to.
I don't want
You're not. You're just appearing in there as a routine thing. In other words, you wouldn't want to exclude yourself from it. Because you could run into some real lines later on.
Well,
because if this thing's like, let's just say, theoretically, hypothetically, that's it. One of the possibilities is that if you go on a subsidiary, benefits would be a movie.
So,
either a full length movie or an hourly, hourly television show. This has already been done.
Like
American Sports are fair. A lot of money to be made. So he says, okay, I'd like to use this as my main reference for now. This book that I read. Now, another thing that can happen, then you get more like, these are all things that have got to be thought about ahead of time. So you're not contracted to run.
Thanks for dropping in. Well, thank you. We appreciate you. We'll see you.
Normal.
Okay. Good to hear of anybody else or anything that needs help.
Nick's a hard taskmaster, but he's a good. Runs a hard operation. He's great. The main thing about advertising anything is getting it right.
Yeah. Right.
If he's got a rate, well, find out right from him what it is. Right?
Right. Thank you.
So the bear was still there, eh?
Oh, boy, that is
son of a gun.
He is really an enemy.
I thought maybe it'd be good to sit down with Jerry just to sit down, and just kind of talk about mainly what I'm interested in is some of this way I ask these questions, I don't really know how to ask. Like, for instance, after he gets done flying on the Kindle, really goes up and extends himself. What's he like? In other words, get nervous for me, do you really feel, mind you, this stuff was there out of the page for you.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, for one thing, it's very tedious, and the high altitude really takes a great toll physically on him. And he'll come home quite tense and exhausted, but it's like any kind of flying he does, he's always willing to go on another flight, no matter how tired. If there's enough daylight left and there's still a couple more flights, he'll take them. Don is the most good-humored, patient man, so that no matter how exhausted or tired he is, he never takes it out on me.
Yeah, right. How about some of these? Well, like, I can't remember the date on the tape, but he was one of these tapes he described when he spun a 180 into a lake someplace, floats.
That was before.
How about the time he went into the cottonwood trees out here between here and Anchorage?
No, I wasn't around then.
Yeah, I think these were earlier.
Yeah. I'll tell you about when he, 2 years ago, we spent an awful lot of money buying Juliet. That's my 185, stole conversion, all exotic accessories, and he cracked it up on the Hayes Glacier.
Was that the one he flipped when he was checking the snow gauge or something?
That was summer before last. No, he was flying climbers into the glacier in freak winds. He landed fine and was in his roll-off taxi. And his wind just took him and just flipped him.
I thought he was checking a snow gauge or something.
No, he's taking mountain climbers.
Now, is that the only plane he's flipped in the last couple 3 years?
Since we've been married.
Yeah, so like we came down here. Remember, we came down here and he was just...
he has, we were up at Miami Lake on the way down here. We stopped there to fish, and he said, we met some people from Talpita, and they said that he had flipped the plane.
Yeah.
Jeez, I got all shook up because we were, you know, coming down here, and the next day, you know, fly with
him. Did you see him with a big black eye?
Yeah.
Face? Had, you saw
what him? What did he have on his face? Was that, like, looked like oil. Grease, not grease,
no,
but like vaseline.
No, it was just completely, his skin was discolored from banging in the
I know, but it looked shiny. It probably had unguent or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was putting, let's see, his face hurt so bad, and but he was getting sunburned, so he did. It was unguent to put all over his face.
Oh, did he, the plane didn't burn?
No, it just crumpled.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm getting at is he came, we finally got him out of there. The rescue did. We couldn't even get a Jack Wilson to go can. I called him. He couldn't get in. And he came home, and he was, I could tell, in shock, a form of shock. And he was all banged up, and he hadn't had any sleep for 2 or 3 days. But we had a whole lineup of traffic, and he just went. He came in, washed up, changed his clothes, and went out and flew the rest of the whole day.
Well, yeah.
And not a sore word to anybody.
Right.
Not a,
you know, that
nothing. He just went on about
it. I've known down. That impressed me more than anything else because
he
we came down on Saturday, and I think he did that on Thursday. Thursday
June
or Friday.
16th. I can't remember. I know it was June 16th.
Anyway, we came down on a Saturday, you know, the kids and I. And he was out here getting his cover, you know, pre-flight cover. And he had to go up, I think, on Mount Hess.
He had to go back and take the rest of the climbers in that
he
hadn't got in yet.
He was shook.
Oh, you bet. Yeah,
I could tell it.
Yeah.
He kept mumbling about his bad day on Mount Hess or whatever it was.
Hayes.
And you could just tell that he didn't want to go, you know, but he was going because he knew if he didn't, he was going to get the better. You know?
Well, he had
you
two climbers yet to go in, too.
So anyway, and that was the time he had to land down the glacier or some darn thing. He was telling me about it the following Wednesday. Yeah. And that really impressed me because I knew darn well that the guy was just, he was going because
he was exhausted.
He would rather not, you know.
And he was in shock. He'd been beat up.
Right.
But he came home and kind and patient with the children. He went on about his business. I was terribly worried about him. I thought that...
Well, Mike flew us in fishing, and then Don came in the following Wednesday. Yeah, by that time, he got some sleep.
Yeah.
He was back to shape.
But this is the kind of fellow he is. You can't break him.
Right.
You can't break him temporarily, permanently, or anything.
You know what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, me as a man.
I couldn't. If
so
I was a man,
terrible.
I couldn't either.
But that's what he likes, you know.
Right. Well, and
he'd probably go bananas, you know, doing the...
Right. It boils down to this.
Punch press.
He knows that he's doing... that he's really lucky to be doing what he loves most, making a living at it.
Sure.
So all the hard stuff and the you don't especially care for goes with it is just part of the job.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that you can do what you like doing.
Does he, generally speaking, like, you know, he's servicing these climbing groups up there in McKinley. Does he generally worry about his I mean, beyond the business, I think, you know, being there on time and so forth, does he worry about the landings and he has to make the weather? And does he get uptight about going in, for instance?
He gets uptight he gets uptight more about keeping someone waiting.
Yeah, right, I know he does that.
Then, as far as I know, he just never worries about...
Doesn't worry about the flying itself.
No, but he knows that his limitations, if the weather's bad, if he won't go, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And he does push it sometimes, too, for sure.
Yeah.
But I've never known him to worry or fear any part of flying. Never. He'll come home and he'll say, good God, you wouldn't believe what I just went through, and then he'll tell the whole tale.
Yeah.
And you can see
but
he really shook
it.
Up. Really shook up.
Yeah,
but he'll
it.
Go right back and do it again.
Well, that's it. You know, it's a challenge. I'm sure that he gets I'm sure that the, you know, like I say, and so on and dog on airplane every day, I mean that to me was probably the same sensation as he gets.
Sure.
Much lesser scale. That was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You that.
Sure. Oh, that's a real milestone.
Hey.
No kidding.
That was really, really something. Well, you know, these are the things that there's no way that I can just decide from listening to the tapes. You know, because what he's telling me is that he's telling me an account of something.
Right.
Of what happened.
A description.
And he doesn't ever stop and say, well, man, well, I was really shook. You know,
yeah.
Or whatever. Like, for instance, at the time, were you looking around when he was taping that? You know, had those UCLA climbers up there?
No, he goes back to Benjamin Schmitz. No, I don't listen.
That landing, you know, it land lights and papers and kerosene. It was pitch dark. I can just visualize
up on the Kehoka Glacier.
No, it was.
You mean the big rescue?
No, it was just a climbing party. As far as I know, they didn't have any. Yeah, he had about 2 days, 2 day and night. They threw him off the May Creek. I think it was Logan.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just a landing. But I could just visualize what little I know about flying an airplane. Man,
it's fantastic.
It's pitch dark.
He is truly, an artist.
Yeah.
He's chosen field.
He's been at it a long time.
Right, yeah.
You don't do something like that for that long.
But you also don't stay alive that long.
Right.
Really good.
Right. That's for sure. I haven't gotten the tapes he did of his time he spent in association with Morris. He's got one.
You want to be sure and get that.
Yeah, he's got one tape that is when he first met stuff, looking fishing, and so forth. But and I assume he's going to have some more tapes.
Yeah, I think Stubb pretty well, mostly bankrolled or got
it
rolling.
Yeah.
And loved to fly too.
Sure. So he was a pilot.
He was a professional gambler by trade.
Well, what I mean is he flew.
He did fly, and he flew for Talkeetna Air Service too.
Oh,
I see. Yeah, they worked for it.
Well, did he learn how to fly after he met the hunter?
I don't know. He didn't learn to fly.
How long ago was it?
Gee. 16 years plus 9 years, 25 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that.
That's about right, yeah. See, when I came here 9 years ago, Lena said, I said, oh no. Well, I don't know for sure.
But you didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
Well, it's really fascinating. Of course, now, like I said before, I don't want to lock the horns with this. This idea that now I've got to actually sit down and start putting out pages.
I know.
And I'm not worried about it or anything, but I'm aware of the fact that unless I know Don, and I can, it's impossible to write about somebody and say, well,
I know.
This struck him this way or whatever, and this is what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
Unless I get some information like this.
Right. Well, I'd say he is the most, he's a fantastically determined person.
Yeah.
And but he won't take idiotic chances.
Mm-hmm. No.
And like when he was ill, he was determined to pull through. And I really think it's the case that he will stump back.
Yeah.
Life, really. And he's hardworking.
He's in good shape, too. You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to, you can tell that,
Right.
Yeah. You're
in physical
shape.
No. If he wasn't,
he'd be bagged up.
Yeah.
And boy, flying.
And especially on McKinley, the altitude.
Right.
Now, I've gone up there once with him, and we spent a couple hours. I get back down here, I'm just bagged out because of the altitude.
Yeah.
And he does this all day long, back and forth, and up to 14,000 feet.
Of course, that's the thing. See, he's up there often.
Could be that he's conditioned to it, right.
Plus, he doesn't smoke cigarettes.
Right.
If he wants to take me up that Catfish Mountain, I can see that. I'll probably run that high time for 4,000 feet. Well, of course, he didn't say hardly anything, you know.
Right, but and he may not want to, and he may not even want to see the book, but I know that from the age of 12 on, he lived with this aunt and uncle on this ranch and did tough work.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Oh, sure.
And his sister just told me he slept out in his little bunkhouse all by himself, and I don't think he had a heat or anything. I mean, he was toughened somewhere.
Sure.
To where he, yet it's funny, he's the toughest guy, but he's almost also the most gentle.
Yeah.
So we'd ever know. He's a real paradox in his disposition.
I get the biggest kick out of him when we were flying, you know, like last fall and took some sheep on there.
Mm-hmm.
Acts like he's got all the time in the world going in there. But the minute you're unloaded, what, on short time, away you go.
Really
tough. Dan gets Don's a very interesting person, manners and so forth.
Right, yeah.
Interesting guy.
Yeah.
What star do you think he's already put? But he didn't have much about his childhood at all.
Yeah.
He just mentioned that he was great.
Maybe on this new tape that when he was following your list, maybe he could.
Yeah. I wanted to find out, of course, what were he in the farm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I doubt very seriously, now I might formally include a chapter in the book about his, you know, his upbringing and so forth, but I kind of doubt it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the book will sort of, what I will use is his description of how he lived in earlier times. And that was excellent.
Yeah.
He had he's got quite a bit of material about what Talkeetna was like.
Good, yeah.
And,
it is interesting that he ended up here.
Yeah, yeah, sort of.
Crazy places to go, especially in those days. You know,
yeah, right.
This was really remote then.
Yeah, I imagine. So, what is Don, again, for lack of a better way of putting it, what did Don think of his father?
Oh, my dad?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Did they get along real great?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Are they at odd ends? Or?
No, they get along really good. Oh, Don seems to really admire him.
I've often wondered that, you know, whether he emulates your dad, because
not
a lot
emulate,
of stuff
but,
he does is similar, you know? Yeah. And I've often wondered, too, whether there was a direct, of course, obviously he was flying glaciers before he moved.
Yeah,
so,
right,
you know,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he really admires Dad, and he has, you know, great respect for him, and they talk over airplanes, practically,
yeah,
and that's all they talk about when they get together, and tell each other their tales, their exaggerated tales.
Yeah, and their stories, yeah. Did your dad ever want Don to go to work for him?
No.
Charlie realized he could.
Yeah. Oh, Don wouldn't.
I'm
no,
sure
Don's got to be a
flying a scheduled airline flight would be about like, you know, watching the flying fall off his great.
You know, my dad's got a great sense of humor. He says, well, Roberta, you should marry him. He's got a job.
Yeah. What are you doing? He's got a job, yeah.
No, it's Dad has great respect for Don's, you know, the way he wants to live.
Oh, sure. He's probably one of the few people on Earth that can really understand what makes him tick.
Yeah.
Why he enjoys what there is about what he does, if he really does.
Yeah.
Yes, it's.
I get along great.
Well, when did Don meet Ray? When did Ray come?
Let's see, 1966 was the winter climb, and that's when Ray Janay first walked in.
Is that
first time we met, yeah.
Well, had he been here in the United States prior to that, or?
He had been in Canada prior to that. I guess he spent a couple of 3-4 years in Canada. And then he came to Alaska, and he was in some painting business downtown.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then he left the winter climb and came back 2 years later and started
I remember seeing Don land up there.
So. Right.
He lived right below the Instagram.
On the ski hill there, yeah. Yeah, he came home and talked about that. I met him on the ski hill.
Yeah.
I said, what?
Yeah. Took her right into campus. Yeah,
Ray's a lot like Don in this bit about determination, drive, hard working. He'll take on any job, anytime, you know, if he feels it needs to be done to further whatever you're doing.
Does what's her name, Marlene, climb a lot with him?
She's been up, let's see, she went to the summit with him year before last, and then last year she went up as far as 18,000, but she's been on three.
Well, she was with him when they got those gallons.
Right, yeah, that's
because
right.
Because Don
mentioned
the tape that she backed him.
Yeah, she's been on about three expeditions with him. She's been on the summit.
I know that climb really shook me.
Yeah.
Not the climb, but the fact that, you know.
Oh, I haven't seen him so upset about that.
Yeah, right.
Because he
was. Yeah, you know, prior to that, he had talked often, you know, about different you know, clients, you know, and different people he'd taken in.
Yeah,
so
he was visibly
just sort of
about that.
In the line of business, that type of thing.
Yeah.
He had been, it hadn't been very long before we came down.
Right.
That for our annual fishing job that he had gotten the gallon box.
Yeah.
Boy, he talked about it and he literally almost had tears.
I know.
He was really sharp.
Well, they were such sweet girls.
Right.
Just
right.
So innocent and
yeah.
I think with all the Japanese, they're so honorable.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And humble. You know, that they were extra special. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do that. But,
I know one thing, as far as the mountain climber goes, that's his greatest pride is taking mountain climbers.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's the biggest deal.
That's all I have to take. He's obviously very, very interested. And he's interested not only in the flying, but in mountaineering itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The techniques that
he can speak the technical language.
Right. Do these Japanese climbers, do very many of them speak English or English?
They usually have one in it. Each group that can speak at the minimum broken English to where we can.
So,
yeah. But most of them can. We do a lot of sign.
It's almost like required language, but they don't learn to speak it.
Right. Well, yeah. There's quite a number of them. Then we can Japanese, that's for
sure.
Yeah. It gets kind of amusing. We'll get a bunch out here, and maybe one of them will speak broken English, and Don, he'll try to describe something to him. That should be safe. He says, an airplane? He's got them just howling. They just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah.
He's so entertaining. And I've seen other people come in, maybe they're kind of... you know, just not humorous people or they're kind of stiff. And he'll say something, they just warm up to it.
Yeah.
People warm up to Don just automatically. And I think it's mostly because he's so human.
Sure, well, you know, he's correct. He does play around mentioning words.
Right, yeah.
People realize, I know I did when I first met him, here's a guy who, you know, you can talk to. If he doesn't say anything, why, you probably can assume it's not respect.
Yeah.
And if he does say something, why, please. I had him take it up. And that's kind of the guy I like.
Yeah. We were talking about you last fall. You know, we get all kinds of people through here. And especially on the hunting bit. And gee whiz, so many of them, you know, if they go out and they don't get their game or something, they come back, they're just really gross, you know. You were just so happy about everything.
Yeah,
and Don says, now that's the kind of guy I like to work with.
Well, you know, to me,
even though you were shot down and you were
coming down on the train, enjoy the whole thing.
That's just
enjoy
it. You enjoyed everything about your trip.
You know,
and right.
I've tried to raise my kids that way too. You know,
yeah.
To get something that's just an added.
Just
right,
that,
that's the bonus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a real experience.
Yeah.
And, we can go back up there hopefully this fall.
Try really?
Yeah, we're going to go back in there. What I'd like to do, Don, of course, mentioned that he had that group that went in there after we were in there last fall. It came to set the grease up in there in the last couple of
years. Oh, yeah, I read about that.
And he's got that on tape. And what we like to do is they build a stretch to get in there. And Don was saying last time.
Was this the ones with the donkeys and the horses?
Yeah,
and the dog team?
Yeah,
and this plane crash?
Right.
Oh, that's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
And that just happened last year.
I know it. Well, that's one of them that I think I may want to use. But in this sample chapter.
I've been reading it. Yeah, he's occupied. That's more important at this stage. But that's another thing about things like this. What if people look in a book and see a story about themselves? Is that bad or good?
No, you, generally speaking, you, there's the only
thing. Well, if you don't use names. Like
well, you can. It depends on, it's generally just a simple decision. You know, if obviously like this web thing.
Right.
You know, if we use it at all, we'll change his name completely.
Or just say,
and then you're
this,
not legally
this millionaire hunter.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But you know, you can pretty well tell immediately whether a guy is going to.
Yeah.
After the thing is written, you read through it, and
yeah.
You use the real name when you go through it, and if.
Like Janae would actually.
No, you know.
Right. Oh no,
but
I was thinking about some of these
talking
things.
About just hunters,
yeah.
You know, people.
Or let's say, for instance, Donnie, he'll tell these humorous stories, and maybe there's someone sort of the gold in the story that,
mm-hmm.
that is the joke's on him.
Well, change the name, that's
yeah, or just not use
or
the
just
name,
use
just
the
say,
name.
Give him a title
right.
like
yeah.
a hunter. Or,
yeah,
yeah, I see.
Yeah, there's no problem.
You don't
yeah.
want
to. Just a simple matter
right.
of
that's
if there's something offensive about it,
when,
you don't use it.
Yeah.
Or else you change the guy's name, or you don't use the name.
Yeah. Or like, see, for instance, that Perry Green of that furrier shop, you know, the big fur trip.
Oh, when they had that big fur,
yeah.
fur trip.
Yeah, you see, he's
well,
sort of
was nothing
making
wrong.
Fun of him.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I didn't, I would never write it that way.
Yeah.
In listening to the tape, I just assumed, oh, here's a couple guys, you know, and Don sort of, you know, in describing him, he had him, obvious, it was very obvious the guy liked to gamble.
Yeah.
And, so what? You know, a
yeah.
lot of people like to gamble.
Sure.
That's no big thing. And but I didn't get the impression that it was fun out.
Yeah.
They when they left Wainwright, Don didn't want to leave, and this guy did, and they pretty much had some real problems
right.
there. But you know, beyond that, I mean, it's just a story.
Yeah, I see. Well,
I could see where you know this thing is web
right,
that
yeah.
were written down in detail for detail. I mean,
yeah.
that's why it might be a little bit
yeah.
offensive, obviously. But, you don't use any names, or if you change the name.
Right.
There's no
sure.
legal way.
This is where kind of medical.
Yeah.
Right.
So
he
didn't
yeah.
know with all of
he
yeah.
advises me on all this stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Probably in Alaska, knows the most about publishing. Or maybe not, really.
Probably
yeah.
so,
yeah.
probably yeah. for most of the states.
You know, one of the little incidents too that come to mind, you know, and just yakking on down like last year before when we were down here fishing. No, it was last year when we came down here. It was the day before we went up to Chinook. Dad and I came down. We were hanging around here in the evening, and Don was coming and going. When we got here, he had just come back with the girls from fishing up at Spink Lake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they had their fishing rods all tangled up. So we were helping them untangle them.
Oh, you did that, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he was so nice.
But anyway, he was out here cleaning those fish. So we, you know, I was, I was helping clean the fish there, you know, to shoot and breathe them, and I didn't pay too much attention. And that was we ate dinner, and then later on in the evening, Don went out. And, well, got to go somewhere, you know, and gets in 180 and took off. And then I think I was talking to you later on. Turns out he'd taken those fish down to Anchorage.
Yeah, to my dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know that's
I
kind
forgot
of,
all about that.
Did he do that just because he?
Right. He'll do that.
In other words, he just
first he gave the girls a good time by giving them.
Yeah.
Don't tip us over.
Yeah.
And they went out fishing and all and. My dad loves fresh rainbow trout, and he doesn't often get it anymore.
Yeah,
he doesn't
sure.
get out anymore at all.
Sure.
And so Don will do that if we aren't going to Anchorage in the next couple of days after we get some fresh fish. Oh, and that's another thing. He doesn't think they're any good after they're frozen for a while.
Yeah, I know it.
So
that.
He did. He threw those down just especially for that.
But that kind of thing.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
What kind of thing?
Right. He's
yeah,
just
right.
a most gracious
yeah.
fellow.
Well, Mike was, Don seems to get along with real well with Mike. Mike Fisher.
Yeah.
Generally, you know.
Yeah. Mike's done a lot of mechanic work.
At least
and
he trusts
flying.
Mike to fly his plane.
Yeah, except Mike doesn't want to fly anymore, so that's...
Is that right? No more at all,
end
period?
End of an era, yeah. We're going to have to hire another pilot. Mike, he wants to do a lot of things, and
he's going to stay here and tell people?
Yeah, he's going to stay here. He's funny. He's got kind of funny lately. He doesn't want to fly, doesn't want to do mechanic work.
What?
I don't know what the deal is.
They claim that... The guys that fly a lot, they all of a sudden, they're going to, they'll just reach the point where
yeah.
they just don't want any more part of them.
Yeah, well,
and, Don probably smart
can't understand. Work. He just, it just got him baffled how anyone could not want to fly.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
But Mike never would go on the glaciers, which I thought was great, because if you don't want to go on the glaciers,
right.
you shouldn't. And, but if he's both playing, you won't fall.
Yeah, he's flown us in fishing.
But anyway, yes, they get along really good. They're good friends. Mike's very knowledgeable. Technical.
Yeah, does Mike do all of Don's mechanical work, or has he?
He has, well, between Don and Mike, they get it done. And Don would probably do about half.
Does Don have a mechanic reading?
Yeah, and he's got a license, AI, what's that?
Airframe and
engine inspection. He's got one of two licenses where you can license an aircraft.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's got the regular, what do you call it, mechanic license. And he's also got this one where you can license aircraft.
What?
It's called an AI.
Yeah. A and P is
aircraft inspection.
Airframe quality.
Anyway, he saves us a lot of money.
Well, you're putting your hat, yeah. I was going to say, you're putting your hat to do on your parrot. Because it'd be $100 to plane.
Yeah.
Or I had to send him to Anchorage every time, man.
Right. Yeah. He welds really
yeah.
good. He gets the hole in the aircraft where he welds it right together. I'm a professional.
Huh.
He,
has he always done this? Has he always done this?
Yeah, always. The really time-consuming stuff, like say he's busy flying, he'll take a day to Anchorage, you know, like say it's about a 3, 4, 5 hours worth of.
Yeah.
He'll flip down Anchorage and have a take care.
And that's like 7 miles
away. Yeah. Or like warranty work you'll have in somewhere in Anchorage.
Yeah. I know, I noticed last time I was on here, he had this one Indian down there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had quite a, not quite a bit, but a lot of
yeah.
little things. You
radio
know, on a new aircraft, there's always
yeah,
something that you got.
But does he still have the other one? He had two, didn't he?
Yeah, we got the two new sets.
Where's the other one?
The one on post. What?
Where's the other one? The other one?
We got, oh, out of the FAA. Vehicle.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's on wheels.
Did I know it wasn't here last time?
Yeah. But he does all that. He's just a man of many talents.
Mm-hmm.
And last fall, our plumbing went all haywire, and he went down into the house and took part piece by piece to fix it.
Yeah.
Anytime something goes wrong in the house, he fixes it. He's talented.
Well.
A lot of that comes, you know, like when he was growing up, in those days, he didn't call for them.
Right.
All the men knew how to do things.
Sure.
Or they were boys then, and they learned. Right. Right. You learned it. And,
well, I can't. I do the same thing. I can't afford to hire a plumber.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plumber,
sure.
You're talking $20 for an hour's work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I do wiring. I wire houses.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why we're seeing this great trend back to doing things in your
sure.
hands.
Sure.
It's not just that it's expensive, but people should know
yeah.
how to take care of themselves,
sure.
you know.
Yeah. How down get taken with his footwork to see if he always been interested in
he, there was someone in town that made tape, and he wanted to, too, so he got these girls and just started.
Just did it.
I'm not for you tonight.
Oh, he's just saying.
What three areas do they cover in here?
Australia, New Zealand.
Why don't I read this for it?
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. He took up Dr. Wickman in his book in 67. I know him.
Thank you.
$37.75. $37.75 for, and we'll just tell them 100 pounds of baggage, but they don't know how to weigh anything, and they'll bring 500 pounds of baggage and give me another trip.
Okay.
Now, if we can just break it down.
Yeah.
Round trip is 150. You can break it down between 1 and 5.
Oh, it's $150 round trip.
Yeah. Now that's two trips actually, a trip up and a trip back. Now it depends on the people how many I can haul. If the guy weighs 800 pounds and he's got a midget wife, I could probably take both of them. But, no, you're joking. The thing is, it depends on how much extra baggage. If they have their dog and the bassinet and the baby and
well, we can just give a what's your gross weight less your weight. You know, just a total weight and say it this much weight is deep one baggy.
It'd be better since they can't weigh anything to eat. Just tell them if the people have no baggage and are average weight, I can take 5. If they're more than average weight, my average weight is about 155. Heavier than that, I'll probably take 4. And Japan Lake on a hot day in August is 2,000 foot elevation. You're lucky to get off at 4 because it's 2,000 feet high. So just the loop to food trip, it costs $150 for food trip, $75 for trip. And we're in radio communications with Japan Lake. Just their billboard.
Yeah.
They can. They've got cooking facilities there. They have rental fishing gear. They got boots, swimming gear. They're in. And for the parties that don't have anything but their white shirts or skivvies, that is way to draw the line with the boots and the rain gear. It's preferable that every fisherman, if he's a real fisherman, bring along his own gear to put that down.
Well, that's what I need to know. Bring on gear. On fishing gear, right?
You see, but if you say to the people, well, you have to bring your outfit, or we've never been, they don't know what to expect, their lodge facilities, the dining service there, put that down.
Yeah.
The lodge includes guide service.
Okay, you have to expose it. Okay, guide.
Loading service.
Now this is all extra cost. Guide service.
Yeah, we're talking about transportation. When we spend $150 3 weeks, it only costs $30 to get in and out of there.
And this is an extra, right?
Yeah.
At the lodge. Okay, right. Now when they rent, I don't know what they do when they
rent. Right, if they rented a boat, it would probably cost them $10 a day, completely more. Now, if they chartered a guy to run the boat and show them where all the fish were baited, they'd be 7 miles long. Why, the guy would probably run about $40 a day, but he could guide a whole plane load of people in boats. So, prorated, it would only be $8 a piece. Or, say, it would be $40. The guy and $10 for the boat split in 5 weeks and $10 a night. Yeah. What are you doing up in Fairbanks? Why don't you come down and look at the bears? They're eating the moose. Yeah, okay, wait a second. So, you're on the hook. One of your lads, Paul Greiner, one of your lads, one of your fishing partners is going to pull on. Oh, yeah. Can't be anything bad news.
No.
Yep. Yeah. Rainbow trout in a 20-inch class.
Yeah, I'm going to go back. certificate that the lodge provides.
Immaculate sheets to sleep between the scaly old smelling fish and much of the
food. Okay, they've got guide service, boat service.
Yeah, we
call they rent the equipment. They rent out equipment.
They do, but let me just say, bring their own equipment and put it back.
Guide service, boat service, cooking facilities.
What's that?
Cooking facilities.
No. They
do the cooking.
They do. You tell them to keep an eye on that. Bath, bubble bath, work for it.
What's the cost there?
I think it costs about $30 a day, but it's first class accommodation.
We'll
probably be home there.
Nick?
Why don't you drop by and see Nick?
That's what I was going to do. I'll talk to him about the lodge.
Are you driving?
I got a car, there's no machine. No problem. Yeah, I'm driving.
So you drive on the machine, never mind your soul, you can bury it.
Well,
look, get that. That's my guess. But it's a first class store. Okay, well, how shall I? $2.
Oh, you mean on that one?
Don't put that down.
Good.
It's very
okay.
Absolutely.